أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. In the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, the master of the day of judgment. I bear witness and testimony to the oneness of Allah, to His magnificence, His omnipotence, His might, His glory, to His being the creator and sustainer of all things, the giver of life, the guider of hearts, the master of the day of judgment. And I bear witness to the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and final messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all those who choose to tread in his path until the last day. It is said that the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a most remarkable thing. That in his own words he said that he was given the blessing of a speech that was jawami in nature. That every statement was concise, but each word carried deep meaning. And not only was he able to speak in such a way that it resonated amongst the men and women of his time, but you and I, 14 centuries later, still draw deep meaning and inspiration from the wisdom that came from this man's mouth, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That nowhere in our tradition would you find a person who came to speak to the Prophet of God and walked away saying that I didn't understand what he was saying. Or on the other end of it, saying that he didn't get where I was coming from. Young and old, male and female, black, white, Arab, non-Arab, people who were Muslim in other walks of life, anyone that came to speak to the Prophet, he was able to speak to them. And for us, we have access to such pearls of wisdom. Opportunity for us to take from his teaching and tradition those things that will not be for anyone's benefit other than our own. If we were to only reflect on what it is that we have access to. And so on one such occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bestows advice upon his companions that would be imperative for us to reflect upon as we enter into a month of Ramadan. May Allah make it a means of benefit for us. That the Prophet sits with his Sahaba and he says, "Who will take something from me, act upon it and teach it to others?" Without knowing what it is that he will give to them, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, "Ya Rasulullah, give it to me, I will do so." And the Prophet alayhi salam, he takes his blessed companion's hand in his own hand, and he imparts upon him five distinct advices that we can utilize as a means to frame our month of Ramadan. And he starts with the first advice, saying to him, اتَّكِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنَ عَبَدَ النَّاسِ. Refrain from that which is haram, you will be the most virtuous of people. Much of the time when we think about people and we equate them to a high level of piety or goodness, we do so through a frame of understanding based off of actions that they undertake. MashaAllah, look at how good he is, he prays so much. MashaAllah, look at how good she is, she reads so much Qur'an. Look at how they dress, look at the charity that they give, look at what it is that they do. But here our Prophet is telling us that a person's goodness is not necessarily tied only to the things that they do, but also those things they keep themselves from doing. That within our Sharia, Allah in His divine wisdom has given to us boundaries that are not meant to be transgressed for anyone's benefit other than our own. But more often than not, it is difficult for us to affirm an introspection that says that I might do things that I'm not supposed to do. In this religion, there was one man who was perfect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's not any of us. But with the recognition of a God that is the most merciful of those who show mercy, who we are taught that if we were a creation that did not make mistakes, He would take us away and replace us with ones that did, so He would have beings to forgive. Our ability for growth necessitates understanding that we all do things that we are not supposed to. But in order for us to overcome them, necessitates us acknowledging in the first place that we do it. And whether we acknowledge it or not, the hadith that comes from mercy sent to this world is that every act that is haram puts a dark spot onto our hearts. And if that darkness starts to envelop that heart, that is the heart that you see this world through. But not out of validation for creation that just seeks to be harsh and judgmental, that only sees where you are lacking and can only point out where you do wrong, but for a God who watches over you and has your best interest in mind. For a prophet who represents that God and he seeks to see where it is you are good and elevate you through that goodness. With an understanding that they are the ones that we follow. You want to acknowledge where it is that you have areas to improve. And to deepen the understanding of what haram is. Because indeed, alcohol is haram. Eating swine is haram. The committing of zina is haram. But so too, backbiting is haram. Lying is haram. Breaking an oath is haram. Gossiping is haram. Being racist is really haram. Where Shaitan was the first racist in this world, commanded to prostrate to Adam, and he said that I am of fire and he is of dirt. Where I am from essentially makes me better than him. And so if you will only interact with people of your culture, you will only invite people to your homes who have the same skin color. You will only let your children get married to people who are not only from the same country, but they have to be from the same town, the same village. Remember whose sunnah you follow and what God you will stand in front of. Women come to the Prophet who are fasting a nafl fast. And the relationship between our actions together have to be understood. They seek permission to break their fast and the Prophet does not give them attention. A companion comes to intervene and says, Ya Rasulullah, it is hard for them. And the Prophet says, bring the women to me and bring a bowl as well. And then he tells the women to induce vomiting, to make themselves throw up. And they listen because they have deference towards the Prophet of God. And to their astonishment, meaty pieces of flesh come out of their being. And the Prophet says they tried to do something that is halal, but they broke it upon something that was haram. That all day they have been eating the flesh of their brother's back. They have been backbiting. And this is what made it difficult for them to fast. If you find a lack of ease in your fasting, it might not be because of the food that you eat or the water that you drink or that you are keeping yourself from. But it might be that there are other things that you have to look at with honesty. Not for anyone else's sake, but for the sake of your heart. To see that you will not curse, you will not be abusive, you will not be arrogant, you will not have foolish pride. But you will understand that as much as you abstain from the permissible during these days of Ramadan, so too it's the opportunity to move away from that which is impermissible. As the Prophet continues with his advices saying to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the second that he says to him is, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ, that be content with that which you have been given, you will be the richest of people. And more often than not, we look at this world through a framework of, why is it that I do not have all of these things? Why do I not have this house? Why do I not have this car? Why do I not have these clothes? And sometimes it goes to the frame that says, why does somebody else get it? When the reality is such that we have been given so much, and the link between gratitude and contentment is something that needs to be understood, where you and I will go into a month where we realize and recognize we don't need as much food as we think we do. We don't need as much drink as we think we do. The way that we sleep is not necessarily the way that we have to sleep throughout the year. But the overt consumption that society ingrains in our psyche that teaches us that happiness is tied to things that exist outside of us. Where our religion tells us that real contentment is not based off of anything external to your being, but real contentment is when you have a contentment inside of you. And the Prophet, he tells us this, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةَ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. The true richness is not having an abundance of things of the earth, but true richness is having a richness of your soul. How much money is enough? And how many of your days of your life have you spent in pursuit of it? With the recognition that you're going to leave it all behind, and none of it is going to be of benefit other than what you utilize for benefit. But when you go to stand with Allah, the only things of this world that you will take from you are the things that were not even made from this world. They were made for a different world. And we have been given so much. Have we not been given eyes to see with? Feet to walk with? Do we recognize that in the world right now, there are mothers who are making the decision which of their children they will feed and which of their children they will see starve in front of their eyes because they don't have enough food to give them? That there are fathers who are walking miles and miles and miles to find some water for their family to drink, and that which they find is more pollutant than anything that you can think of, so much so that it will damage their bodies more upon drinking it had they not drank it in the first place. There are men and women right now on this day of Jummah in this world who are prevented from praying the Friday prayer for no other reason other than the governmental apparatus of the country that they live in do not want them to pray. That they will be forced to eat food during Ramadan. That they sit in solitary confinement in spaces that may Allah never allow for us to be in. And they won't be able to tell what their fast is and not, because they don't even know when the sun is in the sky. But where do you draw your contentment from? And what do you see of the world in front of you? If you look at it in the frame of what is not there, you will always find things that are missing. But if you see it with gratitude of everything that you have been given, the contentment will be for you unlike anyone else. No amount of dunya will bring you ease to your anxiety. But when you understand that decisions don't have to be made in pursuit of a gain in this world or out of fear of losing some part of it, but with a recognition that there's a much bigger world in store for all of us, you will find a different way of finding that fulfillment. As the Prophet continues, he says in a third advice, وَحْسَانِ إِلَى جَارِكْ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا, to give your neighbor their rights, you will be a believer. And the key word in this part of the hadith is the word ihsan, which in a foundational narration in our tradition, the Prophet defines it when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam comes and asks him the question, what is Islam, what is Iman, and what is ihsan? And to Ihsan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "An ta'budu Allaha ka'annaka tarah," that you worship Allah as if you can see Him. Because you understand, although you cannot see Him, He can see you. That at no point do you live your life without an understanding that the eyes of the Divine are upon you. But the key to understanding that is not just knowing yourself and what you do, but who it is that you believe God to be. And do you believe God through the frame of how He identifies Himself in His book? Or do you take the words of those who are harsh and judgmental, who can only see where you are lacking and inadequate, and make you believe in a God that is an angry old man in the sky looking for a reason to punish you? Or a God that is looking for every reason to accept from you? Some of us will believe that people are inadequate because they will only come on Ramadan. Some of us will be in such a place where we elevate ourselves by denigrating others because we will say, why do you come only on the 27th night? Our God is so merciful that He looks just for moments. Where a woman who is a known prostitute in our tradition, deriving her income from committing zina, is forgiven by Allah in His rahmah because she gives water to a thirsty animal when no one else is quenching its thirst. And from that one act of generosity, Allah gives her paradise. And so maybe those people are better than us. And all they need is to stand on that one night. And maybe what they need for us to be is the example of a God that is Rahman, that is Rahim, that is Wadud, that is Latif. How would people know that Allah exists upon meeting you? And when they have interacted with you, how would they know that that God is not just God, but He is the God that is the most merciful of those who show mercy? Everything in our religion has rights over us. Even the animals that we will slaughter to consume have rights over us. That on one occasion the Prophet sees a companion who is about to slaughter an animal and he is sharpening the blade that he will take the animal's life with in front of the animal. The Prophet starts to reprimand this man and says, "Why are you torturing this beast?" Umar radiallahu anhu on one occasion sees an animal that's about to be slaughtered by a man and the man has his foot on the animal's face. Umar starts to beat this man and says, "Why are you not giving this animal its right? If this is the right that animals that we are going to slaughter to eat have over us, can you imagine the right that people have over us?" And that's all people. Not just people whose hand extends to us and we look to see if it came from the same culture or country of origin. Not just people who reach out to us in need and we think about, well, are they from the same place as we are? This part of the hadith says, give your neighbor their right. And in our religion, your neighbor is not the person next door to you, but it's 40 doors to the right, 40 doors in front, 40 doors to the left, and 40 doors to the back. Do you know the situation of the people around you? And if you don't know it, how will you begin to give rights? Do you have food to break your fast with when somebody down the street has no food at all? And do you have a sense of what it is that you can give and utilizing Ramadan to understand how much we actually can give? As the Prophet continues, he says, fourthly, وَتُحِبُّ لِنَاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. That love for the people what you love for yourself, you will be a Muslim. And there's a categorical distinction being made in this advice and the previous part of it between those who have Iman and those who have Islam. But that love for people what you love for yourself is foundational in our religion. That we have numerous hadith that start with the construct of you will not enter paradise until you believe. And one such says that you will not believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah in his commentary on that hadith, he says that the word brother is not in reference to your brother in faith, but your brother in humanity. But how do you show that love for people or build that love that is contingent for your iman? Do you love people who are not South Asian like you? Who are not Pakistani like you? Who are not Arab like you? Who are not black like you? Who are not African like you? Who are not white like you? Do you just have a deep love for people the way our Prophet taught us we needed to have, not for anyone else's sake other than our own iman? You can't love people if you don't spend time with them. And when you have Ramadan and you have a beautiful, diverse community like this, will this diversity be found in your iftar dinners at your home? When you celebrate on the day of Eid, will the people who come to eat with you be people who are only of your cultural background, only of your country of origin? Will you have the courage to invite somebody who's different? Who everyone else will say that, how could you as a Pakistani invite a black person to your house? Because I know who my teacher is. I know who my God is. That's why. Who will invite the converts? Who everyone will shout a big takbir when they take their shahada? Mostly because our sense of validation in our Islam is tied for people from the outside coming and embracing the religion, because we don't really know if we're good until someone else comes and validates it for us. But But where will they celebrate the holiday? In whose home will they break fast with? Why not yours? Why do you not think of them? Hub, muhabba, love in Islam, has the same root as the word seed, habba. And the idea of the relationship between love as hub and seed, habba, is that you can take love from your heart and plant it in as many hearts as you want to. But for that seed to grow anything, it needs real care and cultivation. If you just throw a seed in the dirt and expect it to grow on its own, it probably won't give you anything. But when you pay it attention, that seed will never just give you a seed back. It will always give you more than that. This Ramadan, spend time with people who are different from you. Give salam to people that you would never give salam to and you could fully get away with. Talk to people that come from a different culture. Talk to people who don't have as much money as you. Invite people into your home that you would never even think about inviting. Because it has to do with your iman. How we see people is not indicative of who they are, but how we see them tells us a lot about ourselves. And then the fifth advice, the last advice that the Prophet gives to Abu Hurairah, وَلَا تُكَثْرَ الدَّهْكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الدَّهْكِ تُمِيتُ قَلْبِ. That do not laugh in excess, because indeed in excess of laughter, it weakens the heart. The Prophet here isn't saying that it's haram to laugh and smile. He's not validating and justifying the angry, somber looking people that we have become. May Allah make it easy for us. Because this is still a man who joked with his companions. He ran races with his wife. He played games with children. He taught us to smile in such a way that it was a sadaqah, it's a charity. But what he's saying is that these hearts that we have and the chest that they are ingrained in are likened to a piece of land. And for that land to yield you anything in terms of harvest and crop, it needs rain to hit it every so often. But so too, a piece of land that is only struck by rain is not going to give you so much, just like one that's not struck by anything. These nights of Ramadan, when you stand, and you should stand in them, make dua for the people whose names only you know. Would you ever make dua for my grandfather? Probably not. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. But why would you ever think about him the way that I do? There will be some people's names who will only be found in your supplication. There will be people who have done for you that the rest of us don't even know that they are there. If you can't get yourself out of your bed to pray for you, then get yourself out of your bed to raise your hands to the skies and have tears drop from your eyes on behalf of somebody that you know you wouldn't be you without their care and attention. And you find in those places the realities of the orphans of our communities, the widows of our communities, the elderly of our communities, the people that are waiting for us to embody the similitude of being an ummah that is like a body, that when one part of us hurts, the entire body feels the pain. But that hadith, the Prophet says, is based off of a parable of believers in reference to their love, their muwadda, their mercy, their rahmah, and their compassion, their utfa. And the love, mercy, and compassion that we are meant to have for each other will then render us to be that body that when one of us hurts, all of us feels pain. And you and I are part of an ummah that is from all over the world, people of all backgrounds, of all walks of life. And our tears will be what is critical in the acceleration and movement forward of this community. Five things Abu Huraira is taught by the Prophet. Five things that we can utilize with real contemplation and reflection in our pursuit of Ramadan. That refrain from that which is haram, you will be the most virtuous of people. Be content with that which you have been given, you will be the most satisfied, the richest of people. Give your neighbor their rights. You will be a believer. Love for the people what you love for yourself. You will be a Muslim. And do not laugh in excess. For indeed an excess of laughter, it weakens the heart. It is something that we should think about while we have the time to do so. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسول. Before we make dua, I would ask for you to just recenter yourself to the space that we are in. Leave behind the distractions of the dunya, the workplace you need to be in, the class that you have to go back to, and understand that you are where you are exactly supposed to be. These are the last few hours before the month of mercy. The last few hours before the month of blessing. The month of the Quran. The month of God. Ramadan. How it is that you go into it will be critical in terms of what it is you will be when you leave from it. But pay attention to where it is that you are right now. And let yourself affirm your intention as to what it is that you want to gain from the days, the weeks that are ahead of you. Let this dua that we make be one that understands that your individual heart will bear deep impact on the collective acceptance of it. And so wherever it is that you feel you need to be other than here, let yourself get that out of the way and just be here right now. Make dua to a God that you know is listening. And not just listening and not just hearing, but accepting every word that comes from us. Make dua from parts of yourself that you have long neglected, that you didn't even know existed. And make dua in such a way where you understand that that is your primary connection between you and your Rabb. If I can ever be helpful to any of you in anything of what you have going on, please don't hesitate in reaching out. It has been a blessing and honor to be here in your city for the last week. And with Allah's assistance and help, it gives me deep insight as to how this week was the best preparation for me for my Ramadan. And I thank you for letting me be in your company. If you are ever in New York where I come from and I can return the hospitality, please do let me know what it is that I can do. But if this is the only time that we are all meant to be together, then I pray inshallah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal gathers us all together again in the best of places in the world beyond this one. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوب ربنا على دينك اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين We begin this supplication in your name, Ya Allah, and beseech you to send your choicest salutations upon your most beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We ask that you shower your infinite mercy upon this gathering, granting each and every one who is present here in and our loved ones only the best in this world and the best in the next. We ask, Ya Allah, that if all of us are meant to be together only at this time, at this place, this. Whether we are young or old, male or female, regardless of our race, our ethnicity, our social class, our country of origin, our cultural heritage, whether we are Muslim or come from a different walk of life, Ya Rabbi, if our individual hearts are meant to be in the presence of all other hearts that are gathered here only at this time, at this place, then gather us all together again in the best of places in the world beyond this one. Increase us, Ya Allah, in all that is good. Increase us in courage, compassion, and confidence. Protect us from anxiety, affliction, and anguish. Remove from our hearts any fears or inhibitions, and replace them with an ever-increasing boldness to live each day in this world to the best of our abilities. Grant us hearts that are filled with understanding and hope, hearts that are filled with mercy and compassion, hearts that are filled with love and drawn towards your remembrance. For indeed, in your remembrance do hearts find rest. Ya Allah, make us from amongst those who reach this month of Ramadan and benefit from all of its days and nights. Through it, Ya Allah, increase us in our Islam. Through it, Ya Allah, increase us in our Iman. Through it, Ya Allah, increase us in our Ihsan. And help us to be from amongst those who utilize it as a means to bring benefit to others. Through us, Ya Allah, love your creation. Through us, Ya Allah, clothe your creation. Through us, Ya Allah, feed your creation. Through us, Ya Allah, give shelter to your creation. Through us, Ya Allah, give strength to your creation. Through us, Ya Allah, be generous to your creation. Through us, Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon your creation. And help us to always find the value in ourselves and to go out and share that value with those around us. Ya Allah, there are so many who find themselves in deep conflict throughout this world. We ask, Ya Allah, by the barakah of the month that is ahead of us, that you descend your divine peace upon them and let that be a peace that is rooted firmly in justice. We ask, Ya Allah, that you make things easy for our brothers and sisters throughout this world. Make things easy for our brothers and sisters in Syria and Iraq. Make things easy for our brothers and sisters in Yemen and China. Make things easy for our brothers and sisters throughout the Indian subcontinent. Make things easy for our brothers and sisters in East Africa and across the Central African Republic. Make things easy for our brothers and sisters in Burma and Bosnia. Make things easy for our brothers and sisters in this country, where the realities of racism, the realities of hatred, the realities of bigotry are things that we see around us. Help us to never be from amongst those who engage in any acts of racial injustice, but make us from amongst those who always are a means of hope for the people in this world and never a reason that people might dread it. Ya Allah, accept our dua. Ya Allah, accept our dua. Ya Allah, accept our dua. Ya Allah, by the barakah of this gathering, accept our dua. Ya Allah, by the presence of the righteous that are here, accept our dua. Ya Allah, by the sincerity of the most sincere that are here, accept our dua. Ya Allah, make us from amongst those who benefit from this month of Ramadan, who do not leave even a minute of an hour of a day of it behind to waste, but take from it everything that we can so that we leave from it better than how we started. Make the Qur'an our guide and grant us a deep understanding of it. Make the Sunnah our aspiration, both outward and inward aspects of it. And make our prayer our anchor, granting us the sweetness that only Salah and Dua can. Protect us always from hearts that are not humble, tongues that are not wise, and eyes that have forgotten how to cry. Forgive us for our shortcomings and guide and bless us all. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُوبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ